Grace and peace to the gathered and beloved community in the name of Jesus the Christ. We welcome those who have gathered in person, and I see a lot of red today. It doesn't matter if you're not wearing red, but I do see a lot of it, as well as those who gather online through Facebook live stream. And if any of those tuning in today on Facebook have red on, let me know. I am Pastor Mark McCormick of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, where this service originates. And I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and special musicians today, who are Jen Hall and Jen Yoakum. Our liturgist today is Lorraine Finneson. It is Pentecost Sunday, the day when we celebrate and observe what has become known as the birthday of the church. And it is also Memorial Weekend, when we remember and honor those who gave their lives in the service of our country. So, we are going to take a little special moment a little later in this service, right before the pastoral prayer. And if you have a family member or a friend that gave their lives in the service of our country, even if it's somewhat of an ancestor, we'd like to hear from you, and we will spend just a brief moment in silence for each person that's mentioned today, and we will ring the bell one time in memory. Our lay leader, Ruth Posh, now comes to announce a very important congregational meeting.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. And yes, I want to announce that we will be holding a special congregation meeting. It will be held 2 weeks from today, which will be June 11th, and it will follow our worship service, and we'll meet in the Friendship Center. The purpose of this meeting is to provide information by the building committee on the status of installation of a platform lift from the lobby area to this level, the sanctuary, for handicap accessibility. And we will take a vote at that meeting to approve that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Next Sunday, following the worship service, again in the Friendship Center, will be our rescheduled presentation by Mariana Foster and Gail Sawyer on our mission trip to Mexico. And if you can be here on that day, it is something you won't want to miss. Another important date will happen on the 18th of June, which is a Sunday, and that would be 3 weeks from today, when several new members will be joining the Mayflower Church. Reverend Dr. Ashley Clear, the Executive Director of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches, and who has been with us before, will be with us again. She's excited to be here for that day of celebration, and a light meal will be served following the worship service in our Friendship Center. We hope you can be here for that day of celebration as we welcome new members and celebrate lots of things here at Mayflower. Today's theme is the universal spirit, taken from an alternate lectionary reading from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus meets his disciples who were huddled in a locked room, fearing for their own lives. Jesus' words and actions reflect the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, which changed the disciples and paved the way for the effectiveness of the Church of Jesus Christ, and can change everything for us too. Let us now worship God.
There's a sweet, sweet Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
On this Memorial Day weekend, meteorological summer has arrived, accompanied by warmer temperatures, for which we are thankful. In addition, the northbound trek has begun as Michiganders pack up their boats and RVs for precious time away with family and friends. You can also think of this and every opportunity for worship as a time away with your beloved Mayflower family and friends. In so doing, we set aside this time to pull ourselves away from the mundane, the humdrum, and sometimes sadness and heartache. Jesus' disciples were gathered on a Sunday, trying to put their confusion and bewilderment into perspective. Jesus unexpectedly shows up, breathes on them, and things changed for the better, including their fear. On this day of worship, when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday on the birthday of the church, we can expect that Jesus will breathe his life-giving spirit into all of us, and that changes everything. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we come to this and every service of worship to search for and then find hope and healing for all that is wrong in this world and in our lives. We admit that we often look in the wrong places, huddled in the fear of what might happen next. This was true for the disciples who had forgotten the promises and hope Jesus had already given them. And yet, without fail, Jesus showed up again, never giving up, to calm their fears and offer them hope. We thank you, Lord, for your never-ending faithfulness to us, no matter what. We ask that you would breathe your loving and calming spirit upon each of us today, which was promised to all who would receive. Speak to us through the music, scripture, prayer, and the spoken word as we continue and revel in this high hour of worship on Pentecost Sunday. We pray this and all our prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Je t'aime, te amo, ya tibi ya le bleu, ani o vetka otka. I love you. The sounds are all as different as the lands from which they came. And though the words are all unique, our hearts are still the same. Love in any language, straight from the heart, pulls us all together, never apart. And once we learn to speak it, all the world will hear. Love in any language, fluently spoken here. We teach the young our differences, yet look how we're the same. We love to laugh, to dream our dreams. We know the sting of pain. From Leningrad to Lexington, the farmer loves his land. And daddies all get misty-eyed to give their daughters hand. Oh, maybe when we realize how much there is to share, we'll find too much in common to pretend it isn't there. Love in any language, straight from the heart, pulls us all together, never apart. Never apart. And once we learn to speak it, all the world will hear. Love in any language, fluently spoken. Apart. There is no misinterpreting the language of the heart. Love in any language, straight from the heart, pulls us all together. Spoken here, love in any language, fluently spoken.
Many of you know them as Jen Joy and Jen Love. They shared a lot of that with us this morning. Thank you. Jesus reminds all of us as part of his Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank you, Mayflower, for treasuring our hope of heaven and treasuring our beloved community. It has made big differences in the past, and I am confident that it will make big differences in the future as we move ahead in so many areas of church development. There are receptacles at each entrance of the sanctuary if you have come prepared to give monetarily. But we all participate in this holy act of worship as we offer to God our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious risen Lord, we have gathered on this day of Pentecost, recognizing our reliance upon the same energy and life-giving force which ushered the church into the world when thousands heard the gospel in each of many different languages, repented of their sins, and were baptized. As you told early believers, we too wait and then respond as the promised Holy Spirit comes alive within these sacred walls, spreads out across our neighborhood, into our communities, and out to the entire world. As we have given and responded to areas of need and poverty, we ask for your continued blessing and our remembrance with the struggling, oppressed, and poverty-stricken people in Haiti, and those beautiful people in Mexico who we have recently encountered, and many others. Be with those victims of earthquake, hurricane, and flood to which we have given, and those who continue to help rebuild lives and property when the news cameras and reporters have left long ago. Be with them as precious resources are used and distributed. Help us never to forget or tire of our responsibility, remembering that to whom much is given, much will be required. Help us to believe that the work of the Spirit is just as alive in each of those places around the world as it could ever be within our own church. And help us, O God, to pray and give as faithfully and sacrificially as we can, thanking God for the gifts and abilities you have given us. We never forget, and now turn our attention to those within our circle of love and care, many of them. But we do remember today, Adam Mellum, Sandra Schultz, Jim Shizutwell, Tim Hawkins and his daughter, both who have been missing for 5 days. Mary Mohammed, the family and friends of Dottie Stark, and others who remain on our prayer list or some who are known to you but not to us, and others upon our hearts we mention now. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of corporate prayer within the beloved community, praying like you taught your disciples, and like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Now, this is not the typical lectionary reading, which describes the unusual events that happened that first day of Pentecost. But while the church was born on that day, God's Spirit has been poured out universally, breathed upon all creation from the very beginning. So hear now these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the reading and hearing of Holy Writ. May it now come alive within our hearts and minds, and bless now these words, humbly offered. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, which occurs 50 days after Easter. You count them back, and that's what you'll end up with. You remember Easter Sunday, anything that happened on that day? Perhaps you do. In the Old Testament, Pentecost commemorates the 50 days between the Exodus and the giving of the law with Moses at Mount Sinai. In Jewish tradition, it mirrors one of three pilgrimage festivals known as Shavuot, which in English is called the Feast of Weeks, for the weeks in between. It connects the Passover, the grain harvest, and the giving of the law, which is known as the Torah, contained in the first five books of our Bible. All of these events, interconnected, are of major significance in biblical history and in Judaism. For Christians, the giving of the law does not represent a written law. Rather, it is the covenantal promise of God, first given to Jeremiah, to write the law upon our hearts. The promise of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' disciples was to continue the work and witness of God in Jesus' absence. Just before the ascension, Jesus told his followers to wait in Jerusalem until the promise would be fulfilled. It was fulfilled in dramatic fashion on that day of Pentecost, when pilgrims to Jerusalem witnessed visible and bewildering manifestations of the promised Holy Spirit, including something called the divided tongues of fire, if you can picture that, one tongue resting upon each of those worshipers. That can seem to us today something rather bizarre. These tongues of fire are the reason that red is the liturgical color for this day, which signifies fire, blood, God's love, and celebrations in memory of martyrs. Following the visible signs came the sound of a violent and rushing wind. And finally, a supernatural ability was given to worshipers to share the gospel message in a foreign, yet intelligible language, which was heard and understood. This all happened as promised when the Holy Spirit was poured out on what has become known as the birthday of the church. Although it was a one-time event, it is the continuing work of that same Spirit that gives life, energy, and power into the church. Without it, we are just a club, and not a very effective one at that. In Genesis chapter 11, the story is told of the Tower of Babel, an allegorical depiction of people who wanted to reach the heavens and thereby have equal status with God. It was unsuccessful, and to ensure its demise, language among the peoples of the earth was confused. Languages were confused. The story of Pentecost is one in which understandable language became universal and which brought all peoples of the earth together. The Pentecost narrative in the second chapter of Acts, people from all the known world gathered in pilgrimage and heard the gospel. While some church traditions make no distinctions, it is important here to note the difference between the gift of speaking in an intelligible and known language, and the actual term, for what it's worth, is called xenoglossia, contrasted with the gift described in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 12 of speaking in a tongue known only to God. I get a lot of questions as a pastor. As I even did this past week, someone asked me, what about speaking in tongues? That gift, described by the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, is called glossolalia, and is often a typical part of worship in what is known as the Pentecostal or charismatic traditions. Now, while I and all of us respect other traditions of faith, there is division in the church over this issue. We as Congregationalists take seriously the admonition of the Apostle Paul concerning and describing the confusion exists when an unknown tongue is spoken during worship, as well as the use and misuse of the one gift of the Spirit, which, in my opinion, is the least understood. What we do understand is that the Spirit gives the gift of universal language and universal understanding. But the gift of language goes far beyond words, as we heard in the song this morning. And it happened long before Pentecost. The Spirit offers and grants to the beloved community a universal language which begins with words, but it does not end there. And it has been in effect since the beginning of time, when the wind of God, known as the Spirit, swept over the face of the waters in the very second chapter of the Bible. That leads us to today's text. 50 days before Pentecost, on Easter Sunday evening, Jesus came into the locked room where the disciples were gathered, fearing for their lives, and Jesus spoke in a universal language. That language is the language of peace, which has more to do with the tone of words than the actual words. Have you ever been told that what you said is maybe not the wrong thing, but your tone of voice was wrong? I have to admit that I get reminded of that more than I would like to admit. And part of that is because, well, I just have a loud voice, and that loud voice can seem to be something other sometimes than gentleness and peace. Jesus spoke gentle, caring words of peace. That language always identifies itself as from the Spirit of God. Now, he could have justified scolding words of frustration and anger with his disciples when they were afraid and bewildered after all the reassurance that he had given them in advance of this. But instead, he spoke in words of peace more commonly associated with a gentle breeze than a rushing mighty wind. At certain moments of Christian history, dramatic events have taken place which can reinforce the work of the promised Spirit. But the more systematic and ongoing works of the Spirit in the beloved community are the reassuring and calming words of Christ, "Peace be with you." That is why the first and last words from this pulpit every Sunday are words of peace. Another universal language of the Spirit is the language of love, which was sung about this morning and which is always associated with forgiveness. When you truly love, you forgive. In these long debated, hotly debated words of Jesus by scholars and theologians, the question arises concerning the authority of the church to forgive sin. Now, without wading into the theological differences between Catholics and Protestants of the role and authority of the church, it is my conviction that Jesus was talking about our fiduciary role within the beloved community. And that role is to forgive as we confess our sins one to another, which reflects the Spirit of Christ. This aligns with Jesus' words from the Gospel of Matthew when he gave the keys, the proverbial keys to the kingdom, to his disciples, giving them the Spirit-led power to open the floodgates of heaven by the act and attitude of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most universal and recognizable sign of love. Although not mentioned specifically in the text, we know that there are other things which represent the work of the universal Spirit, such as music, and I know some of you would have reminded me if I didn't say it, which has always been known as the universal language. That was reinforced in last week's service in which we celebrated music appreciation. And it obviously is carried over to today's worship as the relationship between music and the Spirit of God has been communicated by our wonderful musicians. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this beloved community, and it resonates as a universal language. Finally, there is a most universal gift of all, and that is the gift of life itself. In their bewildered state, huddled in fear for their very lives, Jesus spoke words of peace to his disciples, and then the scriptures tell us that he breathed on them. And we don't know exactly what that means in terms of the physical part of that, but as he did, he showed them his hands and his side. And we must remember what happened just hours before this meeting on the morning of that day, Easter Sunday, the first one, when Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, the scriptures tell us, had gone to the tomb after Mary Magdalene, who had already been there, came back and said the tomb was empty. They had seen for themselves and they had believed her, but did not yet understand that Jesus had risen from the dead. Their confusion apparently continued later through the day as they were afraid. Jesus' words and actions changed the narrative. When Jesus breathed upon them, he was hearkening back to the very beginning when God breathed into the nostrils of the lifeless form of dust, which then became a living being. As he breathed upon the disciples, he also showed them his hands and his side, and it was at that moment when the universal and life-giving force of the Spirit of God became recognized among the disciples. That universal gift is given to all from the moment of birth. I was lucky enough to be among the first generation of men to be able to witness the birth of their children. If they wanted to, not all my friends that were becoming fathers wanted to, but nonetheless, I have cherished memory of each of their first breaths vividly in my mind with my two sons. For the disciples and for us, the key is the opportunity we all have to recognize this universal gift which transcends the grave, makes dead bones come alive, gives new purpose and direction to the lives of believers, and declares that death has been swallowed up in victory. Without this hope, this life-giving, energizing, and animating gift of the Spirit, the church dies. Without this hope, we have no mission, as the text reminded us what Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." So, with the Apostle Paul, I declare, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. Amen. Now, I told you earlier what was going to happen, and so before our closing hymn today, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, so we're going to shift a little bit to our thoughts about Memorial Day. And I will tell you about a relative that I've never spoke of before. I will probably take a little bit of a pastoral, extend a story here, because we probably won't have time for lengthy stories, but anyone that you want to remember by name and under what circumstance that person gave their lives, we'd be happy to take the time to share. But I will tell you a story about my great-great-grandfather, William Endicott. I really didn't know hardly anything about him other than his last name, and I knew that my grandmother's last name was Endicott. I also knew, because of my cousin who studied genealogy, that the word Endicott came from the 14th century in England, where there was a family that lived in the End Cottage, and that's where the name Endicott came from. And if I go back 11 grandfathers directly in line, I don't think it was first name, but I think it was either John or William Endicott was the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. I just knew you wanted to know that. So, you know, I had to just share a little bit of royalty with you. But I did get a call from my cousin some years ago when I lived in Richmond, Virginia, and he said, "I've found out something, that our great-great-grandfather is buried on the Petersburg, Virginia battlefield." And I said, "Craig, tell me more about that." And what he told me was that he served in the 37th Regiment of Wisconsin Volunteers during the Civil War and the Battle of Five Forks, just before Petersburg was taken, happened 9 days before the surrender. He was shot right through the eye, killed instantly, and he sent me a copy of his last muster, or his original muster into the military, and then his last pay stub of $20, which was sent to his family in Wisconsin. And so, when I was, it was in the early 90s, I had a great aunt who was 84 at the time, the youngest of a grandchild of William Endicott. And she told me that they wanted to make a trip. She and her husband wanted to make a trip down to Richmond, Virginia. We went out, had my son with me, was, 10 or 11 at the time, and he went out seven spaces on this beautiful battlefield where Union soldiers were buried in the South. And he said, "Dad, look, here's William Endicott." And we had a moment kind of beyond belief, and the youngest granddaughter of that great-great-grandfather of mine just had a moment of emotional overpowering. And she said she looked for years, every time they went to Gettysburg or wherever, she always looked for the grave of her grandfather. So that's my story. And Kim, I'll have you play a bell as we just, for each of these people that are mentioned today, just have a moment of silence. All right, are there other names of people, friends or relatives, that you would like to have remembered today?
I'd like to remember my father, Francis Edward Fry. He had served in many battles in foreign countries and came back home for some more military training. He was stationed at Camp Lejeune. And while on American soil going through training, He was killed by a mortar that was supposed to be blank, but was not. He was 25 years old. He was killed in June of 1951, and in the following March of 1952, I was born. My mother did not even know she was pregnant when Francis was killed. So.
And Gail, what was his name again? All right, a moment of silence. Francis Edward Fye. Anyone else like to share of a deceased loved one serving our country?
Ernest Binnaker of the Air Force, my uncle, killed off Dakar.
And what was his name, Gil?
Ernest Binnaker.
For Ernest Binnaker, moment of silence. Anyone else? Yes.
I'd like everybody to take a moment and remember my brother, Fred. He served in the Navy for 25 years, and he served both in Korea and Vietnam. And 2 weeks before he was to retire, after 25 years of service, he suffered a cardiac arrest. He was 49 years old. Frederick Posh.
Thank you, Ruth. Frederick Posh, moment of silence. Someone else over here? Oh, Hannah?
A distant cousin, but my father's namesake, Martin Selkrag, was killed in Vietnam.
For Martin Selkrag, a moment of silence. Anyone else to remember a loved one? Dawn.
Remembering my cousin Roland Hill, who was killed at Normandy.
On a trip with my wife took with her sister, she went to the Normandy grave sites there. A moment of silence. For what's his name again? Roland Hill. Steve.
His name was Bruce Walker. He was a friend of mine. He died in Vietnam way too young.
Has anyone been watching any of the History Channel here in the last few days about Vietnam in high definition? It's been amazing, because I had friends that I knew that didn't make it home from Vietnam. Anyone else? I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry, thank you, Karen. A moment of silence, and what was his name again? Bruce Walker, thank you. Thank you, Karen. You join the ranks of many people that need to be that need to remind me sometimes. Anyone else? Deanne.
Joe Johnson lived right next door to us, grew up as a little guy, coming over to our house and playing many, many times. Loved this boy very much, and was killed in Afghanistan, volunteered to go out and check the landmines ahead of the other soldiers, and was killed and is buried in the National Cemetery in Holly, Michigan. Also, I wanted to mention my father, Loyal Dean. He died on Memorial Day, served in Pearl Harbor during World War II. He was not killed in action, lived a long life, thank God. I wouldn't be here otherwise. But want to honor him today also. Loyal Dean and Joe Johnson.
Is it Johnson or Johnston?
Johnson.
It's Johnson, okay. If you're ever driving south on Highway 23 going to Ann Arbor from Flint, that whole stretch of highway is named for Sergeant Joe Johnson, next door neighbor of Deanne and Ken. A moment of silence for Joe Johnson and for Loyal Dean and many others that would be mentioned in your own hearts today. Remembering also that red is the color of the day when martyrs are often celebrated in different church traditions. All right, let us now close with our closing hymn. In light of our lectionary reading today, it might be a little more meaningful to us all. May the peace of God go with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you. On this Memorial Day weekend, as well as Pentecost Sunday, our prayer is for the Lord to bless and keep each one of us, but also keep us safe, whatever you're doing, and all of your family and friends, whether they're on the road or whatever. God bless each one of you, and hope many of you can join us in the Friendship Center for some goodies, fun, and fellowship, which is a continuing part of worship. Amen.